So welcome back to another episode of Lock It or Leave It. Our special guest today is Charles C. Clark, and she serves as the assistant coach for the UNF Ospreys women's hoops team. We'll be discussing getting 1% better, the best basketball atmospheres, Red and More being a Swiss Army knife, and ways to grow the game. So don't go anywhere. When we get back, you'll be hearing from Coach Charles C. Clark. Yesterday, I absolutely found a gem in Vegas. Vegas was slacking once, and when Vegas slacks, you have to take advantage of it. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a Hornets fan. The Nets were playing the Hornets. Same record. They both had the 8-9 seed tied, and I'm thinking this is a playoff game for the Nets. They have to win this. It's in Charlotte, and sometimes you bet with your brain and not your heart. That's how you got to do it. I did not take pleasure in watching the Hornets get pummeled yesterday, but the money did help out. I told Cam, and you trailed with me, Cam. So how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jay. That was awesome. Easiest game I've watched in a long time. Shout out to Kyrie Irving, if you listen to this, for just dropping 50 on 19 shots, which is crazy efficiency. So, I mean, straight domination, total to finish. The Hornets never stood a chance. I don't think they were ever even leading in that game. So, definitely nice to watch. Love to see it. Thank you, Jay.
And then, of course, and then we'll pass it on to the next co-host that we have, which is Aaron. Aaron, how are you doing, man? We play at 12. How are we feeling going into this game?
It's going to be a tough one for sure. So as you guys know, I used to go to NYU. I went to the ACC tournament in 2018 when it was in Brooklyn, and I went to a Syracuse UNC semifinal game. And now that game was all Cuse fans. I mean, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, full of Syracuse fans. It's right upstate a little bit. A lot of people went there, big finance school, a lot of bankers that go there, come down to the city. So it's going to be a tough crowd. I think it's going to be like a home game for Cuse, but I believe in our boys. We got Caleb Mills back today. A lot of things going right for us. We're finally getting healthy. We got Anthony Polite back, who was so big in that last game against NC State, and then before against Notre Dame as well. So really excited to see how we look. I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to come down to the wire. So can't wait to see it.
Yeah, Polite's literally got one hand right now, and he's still giving people buckets. I talked to him the other day at Gordo's, and he was telling me, he said when he was dunking the ball, it was hurting his hand when he was hanging on the rim. But he was like, he said, I didn't even feel the pain because of the crowd. I was so energized. It didn't even matter. I was like, I just thought that was awesome.
And then we save the best for last. We have Coach Clark joining us today, the assistant coach for the women's basketball team. Thank you for coming on today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's just hop right into this. And to get ready for this interview, I was in contact with Kobe, and I was trying to get some research going on, kind of see how you are. And she said she loved to talk about your charisma. And there's no better way to show our listeners than to play this clip from February 12th, 2021.
You know, and I'm really proud of my group. I know that everybody can pick us apart. We definitely traveled like a third grade girls basketball team. I mean, we traveled about 20 times. We missed wide open layups. We fed the ball to them. I mean, there was no one that we beat ourselves in a lot of moments. You got to credit Reigns. They do a great job. Nobody really plays like they play. How they harass the ball, it's so hard to prepare for. But I told this to Patrice, and I'll say it to you. My team a month ago doesn't withstand that run that they made. The growth that we've seen and the losses. I mean, we have 9 losses going into playoffs. We have more losses than anybody really competing right now.
So you were talking about the growth of the team, and you're a big advocate of the phrase, get 1% better. How rewarding is it to see your team make those steps and progress throughout a season, along with how are they getting 1% better day in and day out, whether it be watching film, reading the game, and or their play on the court?
Yeah, so you played that clip from, I think it was a couple years ago in a playoff run. I'm obviously in a new role now as an assistant coach at UNF, but spent 6 years as a head coach of an amazing high school team. And that particular clip, just talking about, I was a big believer in scheduling a tough schedule. So we would go into playoffs every year with 8 or 9 losses. I always was big on to be the best, you got to beat the best, and really felt like playing a tough schedule would prepare us for the Final Four moments that we had. And we were blessed to go to the Final Four for 3 straight years. And so kind of carrying that into UNF, Coach Gibbs is our head coach, and 1% better has kind of been our tagline every day. It's just every day we're trying to win from the moment we wake up till obviously when we go to sleep at night. And so just that mentality of trying to be better every day and inspiring our girls, that's just like the little things, buying into the little things, not getting too distracted with the noise around you. We live in a very media driven industry, and so you can kind of get caught up in a lot of what's going on Twitter and what other people are saying, but you kind of have to like ride with that group, you know, and just focus on what you can control.
So you recently retweeted a clip of Purdue's head coach Matt Painter talking about star big man Zach Edey saying, "When you rank guys, you can't judge what's in their hearts." Talking about how he doesn't buy into all this hoops or all this hype surrounding the rankings and comparisons and the stars and all that. So as an assistant and a former director of operations at UNF, how important is it for your staff to find the right women that fit your team rather than just trying to recruit the biggest names?
Gosh, I like loved that little like video that from Purdue the other day. And I just being new to this side of the ball now, like in recruiting, right? And I was a high school coach, so we didn't have the recruiting element. And right now, like our season just ended and we have to sign 4 more players. And kind of, I think that like you can get so caught up in all that, like the rankings and what the highlight films and what people are saying about this kid and that kid, and maybe this kid has the look, but this kid doesn't. And I think that for me, being new to this side, like I'm all about that. I'm all about the heart. Like you can't measure that, you can't rank that. We just watched, I don't know if you guys watched a lot of the women's tournaments lately, but like South Carolina gets upset by Kentucky, you know, who's on a 10 game win streak, and Kentucky goes in and beats LSU, they beat Tennessee, and then they upset South Carolina. And South Carolina's got, I mean, they're incredible. They're probably a pick to win the national championship, and I love Dawn Staley and what she does there. But it just kind of shows you that on any given night, anybody can be beat, and a guy that was a 2-star athlete can beat a guy that had 12 Division I offers. So I'm big on that. And as we enter our recruiting season, like that's my main focus. I just want kids that are going to work hard, that can be coachable, that want to come to UNF, that love basketball, and kind of leave all that other stuff for Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, we had on Coach CY, who's an assistant coach for the men's team at Florida State. He was really, it was really interesting to hear about his recruiting process as well.
Yeah, that's, and I love that. Like, you know, that coach obviously, like, you know who you are, you know how you identify your team, you know the system that you're in, and you're going to recruit to that system. And when you recruit to that system, that's when you can find, you know, sustainable success. And I love, you know, Coach Ham over at FSU. I mean, talk about consistency, talk about sustainability, talk about a guy that knows who he is, knows what he likes, and recruits to that. I think that when you can be consistent like that and sustain success and have a career that he's had, I mean, it shows that that works, that process works. And I love that FSU is not for everybody. That's what that coach is saying. And like, that's what we're saying, you know, how we do things isn't for everybody. And I think that just finding the right pieces is a big part of it.
Yeah, as you touched on earlier, social media has definitely changed the way young people watch the game of basketball, whether it's overtime, ball is life. We see people pulling up from half court, taking up from three pointers. Thank you, Steph Curry, for showing us what a good shot looks like. But sometimes they try to do a little too much for their team. But that's not Retta Moore. And your win against Lipscomb, Retta went 0 for 6 from the field, but she affected the game in numerous other ways, finishing with 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and contributed on the defensive end with 2 steals and led the team in plus minus. Can you talk about the importance of being a Swiss Army knife and how teammates can feed off her energy and effort?
Yeah, that so Retta is our senior captain, and a really cool story with Retta is she was a walk-on. A walk-on, didn't get any scholarship money, I think, until her sophomore season, maybe halfway through her sophomore season. And She became our captain. She became our cult, like she's our culture in human form. And that game in particular, like I got the box sheet. Lipscomb was my scout. It was our first our first playoff win last week, and I saw the stat sheet, and like it was unreal. Like the first thing that players go to look at or that we talk about is scoring, and obviously that's super important. But just the message to kids is, you know, if you're 0 for 6, don't let your shooting ability, you know, your off shooting night affect your ability to defend, your affect your ability to make a play for a teammate. And Retta, there's not many out there like her, you know. So that seeing that her plus minus was 21, the highest on our team, and she scored 2 points, and at 5'8" had 12 rebounds, led both teams. The other team had a 6'3" stellar post player, and Retta has 12 rebounds. And she's got like the athleticism of my pinky here. Like she's literally just selling out every night, you know. And that's like the kid. Like she leaves our program this year. It's like how I read something a few years ago. Like good cultures, you know, your culture shouldn't graduate. And like our challenge this year as a coaching staff is going to be to make sure that our returners, you know, we have two great leaders, Jazz Bond, who just will graduate as the leader in blocks, rebounds, and points for our program. And then you got Retta, and they were both like selfless leaders that we're losing. And so that culture, that like it's going to be our job as a staff to recruit and bring in more kids like Retta. But at the end of the day, I don't know if there'll ever be another Retta Moore.
It's crazy you say that because when we had CY on, we did moniker. We said culture doesn't graduate, and he has some shirts coming out with Trent Forrest, who's now in the NBA when he dunked on Jordan and were with that going on. But I wanted to talk about your resume, Coach Clark. It's getting hefty. Not only were you a highly successful high school coach, you also the director of operations and now a current assistant at UNF. But that's not what I want to highlight. While doing my research, I found out that you were the director and owner of Clark Basketball Academy, a skill development program that helps young women work on their game. So, can you talk about the inception of Clark Basketball Academy and how rewarding it is to not only see the girls progressing, but also the joy that comes with seeing them fall in love with the game?
Yeah, so I was 2016 when I started CBA, and I was obviously I played Division II basketball. I was a really good shooter. I was kind of like Retta, like not the best player on the floor, not the quickest, but I did pride myself on no one was going to outwork me. And then I was on the floor because I was a great teammate and a great leader. And so for me to just keep up with the level of athleticism that I was playing with, I had to constantly be in the gym, and I fell in love with skill development. And I grew up in an area where, one, we didn't have a lot of girls' basketball opportunities. I didn't play AAU. I got an offer from the college in my hometown and literally accepted it on the spot. The coach walked across the gym in a summer league game and offered me a scholarship, and I just said, I'll take it, you know, because that's how badly I wanted to play. And just learn to fall in love with skill development. And so when I got done playing, I just was like, I want to be that for somebody else. I want to provide young girls an opportunity to go in the gym and get better, because everything was geared towards the guys. There was no room for girls to go and work out, and sometimes that just was frustrating for me. And just kind of just so I just started it. I started working out kids, and my first workout was in my garage, literally like just doing ball handling drills, agility work. And then it just grew, and then I would work outside on any hoop that I could find. And then the business grew and grew, and started working out in gyms and training guys, college guys, professional girls and guys. That was like crazy to me. I never thought that, you know, a dude would want to come in and get work in. And so it really grew. And it really grew, in my opinion, because I started just with just fueled by passion. It wasn't necessarily a monetary. I didn't have a lot of, you know, business, you know, incentive, but it grew, and it grew into being a great side hustle. It grew to be passionate, and for me, I kind of now jump into the college game. I had to leave that behind. I had to, you know, Clark Basketball no longer exists, but I did give it to a buddy who's continuing to do that work. And I think it's just important for young girls to have an opportunity from a young age to kind of feel like they can go and get better. And giving girls that platform.
So we'd love to ask our guests this question as we try to get a glimpse into the experience of someone on the front lines of the game. Can you describe the best basketball atmosphere you've ever experienced, whether it was as a player, as a high school coach, or now at UNF?
Yeah, mine is well, I'm gonna go from like me being in the game. I've been to a lot of incredible like women's Final Four games when they lose, or sorry, when you're winning at the buzzer a couple years ago, that Arike Ogunbowale shot that put Notre Dame won a national championship. I'd say that's the best environment I've been a part of, not coaching or playing, was the women's Final Four in Columbus a couple years ago. But my favorite basketball memory to this day is the night we sold out. It was my fourth year at Bishop Kenny. We were hosting the regional final. We were playing Rickards. I think they're out of Tallahassee, Rickards High School, or they're over that way. Hosting them, and I took over a program that no one ever came to our games. We had lost, I think the program was just kind of in a bad rut. Like, no one took it seriously, not even the players that I inherited. And just kind of built a program from the ground up. And this night, I was 27 years old, so I'm 31 now. And we're hosting this playoff game. We sold out the game. I bought 200 white t-shirts and we gave them out to every student who came in. And I like walk out of the tunnel to get ready to coach the game. And I was like, I always have to say that my wedding was my favorite day of my life, but that game is secretly the best day of my life because here we are. We hosted a regional final for the first time in 27 years. It had been 27 years since Bishop Kenny had gone to the Final Four, and to see everything I'd ever want. I'd always dreamed of playing in an environment like that. Like, 'cause like I said, like my college team, just girls basketball in general, it takes a special program to garner that attention. And everybody from alumni to the community to the students, I mean, the place was filled from top to bottom. And we end up winning. We win the game, beat an incredible team that I don't think we would have won had we not been at home. And it just was at the end of the game. I still have the picture. It's up here on my wall. But the students stormed the court, and like they have this amazing picture of like our staff like hugging, all five of us like hugging, and the students are rushing the court, and it was so loud in there. And like that's like a it etched into my memory forever, is just being able to coach in that game and win that game and being a part of the first team that gone to go to a Final Four in 27 years and as a 27-year-old coach. So it
Do you
was
get
cool.
chills when you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I like to watch the videos every now and then. Just those moments, like they're just kind of like forever, like in your head. And it's something really fun to look back on. I've got all kinds of stuff hanging on the walls to remind me of it. So that would probably be my number one, a high
Because
school
for
gym packed out on a Friday night.
Jay and
Yeah.
I are on like an organization called like Knoll Zone. It's a sponsored by Florida State Athletics, and our job is basically to create hostile environments for the opposing team. We've been a women's soccer game. Shout out to Christina Roque, the player of the game in the national championship. We were at senior night recently for the women's. We got to see Morgan Jones go absolutely crazy. I think she had like, what'd she finish? 24 and 10?
24 and 10 or 24 and 9.
24. No, she got that 10th rebound, I remember. Yeah, but anyways, but we mainly focus on the men's team, and they situate us underneath the basket right in front of the opposing team's bench. So whenever people come in, they can hear us talking the entire time. And Jay always goes out of his way to find one specific player who he just bullies from start to finish. And you always see this player, like he'll start playing bad, then like he'll sit down and the coach will come over and like start talking to him. And, like you'll see him maybe every once in a while they'll flip Jay the Bird, like one of the bench players, never the starters, but like one of the guys that's not getting up off the bench. But anyways, the FSU's women's coach, Coach Sue, has high praise for you, saying, "I was fortunate enough to connect with Coach Clark through her work coaching one of our players in the off season. What struck me was her willingness to collaborate with our coaches in a way that is uncommon. While displaying clear love and passion for the game, she has a hunger to learn, develop her craft, and she's an excellent developer of players. Coach Clark is high on my list of rising coaches. Can you talk a little bit about how you two cross paths, and how does it feel to be recognized for your hard work and effort?"
Oh man, I love Sue. I love Coach Sue. She's been a mentor of mine for a long time. And talk about sustainability. Talk about, knowing herself as a coach and recruiting to that system. And she's just, you guys have two excellent coaches over at FSU. Great examples. And I met Coach Sue just bringing our high school team to her team camp. She hosts one of the best team camps for high schools every summer, and I brought our team there a couple years in a row. And honestly, it just goes to show what a great person she is, who she is, and the fact that she in that camp, Power Five head coach, she's walking around the gym talking to each coach, each high school player, just introducing herself like she needs any introduction at all. And she just came up to me because I normally don't like to impose myself on anyone, and I kind of like to give people their space. And she made a point to follow me out the door and tell me, hey, I really enjoyed watching your team play. And we didn't have anybody she was recruiting, obviously, but she was like, I just loved watching your team play. You do a great job. And from then on out, I've received little handwritten, congrats on a great season from her. I'll send her, a few texts here and there, especially with her family, what was going on with her mom over the last year and having to take a year off. Just kind of, it's been really, really neat and kind of organic, and it's super genuine how that all started. But it starts with her just being so great and gracious to come up to a high school coach and to even just say anything at all. So that's how it started. And whenever I was going for this job at UNF, I kind of just reached out to her and asked her, anything she could do to help, if she could send in, just a statement endorsing me just trying to get this job. And she was so kind and did, wrote back right away. So just kind of shows what an incredible person she is.
I can't remember a time when women's basketball was getting this much attention nationally. There are players in college like Caitlin Clark, Paige Bueckers, Aaliyah Boston, Nelissa Smith, and more who are shown they're ready to be the next faces of the sport. And in the WNBA finals, we saw a 51% increase in streams and watches from last season. And there seems to be no indication of slowing down. So if you could put your commissioner cap on for 1 second, what would you do to try and market or advance the game WNBA wise also, as we see the game is growing nationally and globally?
I think it's just continuing to give the spots on TV. I'll voice something. I was super frustrated. I couldn't watch the ACC games this past week. You had to have the ACC X net, like it was all blacked out. Like not so I got to watch all the SEC coverage, but I couldn't watch any of the ACC games until the championship game. And I've got all the different. I pay for all these different things, and so. For me, I was frustrated that I couldn't watch those games. And I think it's just continuing to give the WNBA those time slots, continuing to give people the opportunity to turn on the TV and see them, continuing to advertise. Like we went into the WNBA playoffs last year, and there's times where I'm digging to figure out when the games are, what time they are. Like sometimes it's just the information's not out there. And it's just continuing to try to push that information out there. I know that sounds simple. It's nothing really genius, but so literally the other day I was literally had to Google three or four different things just to find out when the ACC what find the ACC bracket. It kept coming up from last year. So things that are just a little frustrating for me sometimes, like not being able to watch or finding out it's blacked out, just trying to continue to push that out there. And I think I just read something the other day that South Carolina, that championship game was just literally the viewership, I don't know the numbers, I don't know the percentage, but it's growing. It's definitely in a great position. And I think especially college, I don't know a time with that women's college basketball, like even my husband, like he's watching it. He's all in. Like all my friends were talking about it. And it's kind of becoming a normal thing where it's now I go into a bar and I want to watch a game and it's already on. Like those are, I'll go into an alehouse and it's like golf's on every channel and it's the SEC championship game. And like they stare at me with two heads when I ask for a women's basketball game to get turned on. So we're starting to get there. And I think that's what's exciting. I think it's exciting. And I'm really excited about the tournament. I'm really excited about the tournament because these conference championships just showed like anybody can be beat. Like I'm excited. I think South Carolina, NC State, Stanford, those are all the number ones. But like there's so many teams that are on the heels of greatness. And it's really nice like to see. Obviously, I think years ago when UConn was winning every single year, it was so bad for the game, and that's where people didn't want to watch it because it's a championship game and UConn's winning by 40. And now it's there's the level, it's a level playing field. There's incredible coaches. There's all these storylines. So places like Iowa with Caitlin Clark, like giving Iowa some love, like it's incredible the talent and the level of play, and then the coaching is it's fun. It's gonna be a fun March.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing like the social media managers for ESPN and stuff making sure that they make those graphics for Caitlin Clark too, because she's putting up 42, 12, and 6, and it's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I was watching the WNBA finals this year, and I think there may be a stigma about the WNBA, and I was like, you know what? Let me sit down and watch a whole entire game. I'm telling you, my roommates and I were on our feet jumping up. They almost hit a half-court buzzer beater to win a finals game. We're seeing Brittney Griner give elite post moves. We're seeing everyone, Diana Taurasi, she's taking all her shots are contested. I don't get it, but she acts like the defender's not even there. Such an elite shot maker. It's just, I agree with you. It's crazy to see where the game can go. But we're gonna take one quick break and then finish off with the lightning round. Coach Clark, you'll love this. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the lightning round, everyone. The Tampa Bay Lightning are absolutely rolling lately. Little hiccup last night, but overall, been playing some great hockey. Looking to win our third cup in a row. It's going to happen. I know there's a lot of haters out there saying, oh, they can't do it. I've heard some talk about the Oilers being maybe better. Some people said the Avs are better. Some people even said the Bruins are better, but I disagree. I think the Bolts are going to roll to three straight. That's even better than winning 3 in 5 years. So shout out the Blackhawks. But here we go to start the lightning round.
We won 8-3 last night, though, and Kane had a 6-point game. So you can't
Kane's
slander
like 38
this.
years old. I'm not worried
Yeah, he
about
had a 6-point game last night.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I will see you in the playoffs, maybe, if you guys make it. I don't know. But to start off the lightning round, Jay, let's hear the first question.
So, Coach Clark, I want to know who is do you think is the best college hooper that you've seen of all time? Because for me personally, you mentioned UConn's dominance. For me, it's Maya Moore. When I saw Maya Moore in her prime, like, oh my goodness. And she was a Rhodes Scholar. Who's the best you've seen?
Brianna Stewart.
Brianna Stewart, Stewie, she's
four straight national championships.
Who's your early women's March Madness pick?
South Carolina.
What about a sleeper pick?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Ooh, okay. Big SEC girl. Respect. So, gotta ask this question real quick. Caitlin Clark or Paige Bueckers?
Caitlin Clark.
It's got to be Caitlin Clark. I will watch every single Iowa game in
Dude,
the
I don't know.
tournament this
Healthy
year.
Paige is different though, dude. She literally plays like Luka. Like she's a
Dude,
problem.
Caitlin Clark is Steph Curry, bro. She is the best highlight tape I've seen
Yeah, she
in
can
a long
score, but
time.
I don't know. I don't know.
She's pulling it
Personally,
from
I think
40. She's
Paige affects the
pulling
game more.
40-foot
That's my opinion.
three-pointers
One
with
question.
the full shot clock.
One
Have you
question,
watched
Coach
Paige play?
Clark. One question, Coach Clark. If one of your players is on a fast break, a 3-on-1 fast break, and pulls up from the logo like Caitlin did, how quick are they being subbed out?
Man, she better make it. Or she
Say
misses
she
it, it's
better
not a
make
miss.
it. Exactly.
Yeah, we gotta ask
That's
this
just
one.
crazy.
We gotta ask this one because we're all friends with Kobe. What is the best play of Kobe's high school career that you can
Yeah,
remember?
Kobe, gosh, she was so fun to coach. Talk about she was a great leader. Best play, it was a summer league game. We're down the whole game. Kobe, best shooting performance I've ever seen. I think she had 10 threes in the game. Call a timeout, draw up a play for her to run through elevator screens. She runs through them, catches it, doesn't even look at the rim, shoots it over two people, and we win the game. That she was incredible. She was
She
fun.
is going to love
She has
that.
never told me
Wow.
that
Dawson just
story.
won her intramural championship.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She did. She did. That is crazy. Okay. So thank you. That will wrap up the interview for today. Let's start these sign-offs, man. Cam, once again, thank you for coming on. FSU plays in like 30 minutes, so let's get activated.
Yeah, 20 minutes. This is gonna be a good game. I'm a little nervous. It's pretty much a toss-up game according to Vegas. So, I'm excited to get into this one. Let's go Caleb Mills.
Yeah, go Caleb Mills, and then passing it off to our next host. That's Aaron. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's gonna be nice to be able to watch this game and not stress too much, as I actually recently retired from my booking career. This is my first week not doing it anymore. I just got too much stuff going on, but real excited for this game. Can't wait to see how Caleb Mills matches up against the three-headed monster of Girard, Boeheim, and Boeheim, Syracuse. So again, very excited to see how this goes. And thank you, Coach Clark, for coming on today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. You guys, this is fun. You guys, this is really cool that you guys do this. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We started this off just wanting to kind of shed some light on FSU sports, let people know how good of a sports program we have. Thank you once again, Coach Clark. We're trying to expand what we do also, and this was a great interview. Love to hear the insight, and I know Kobe is going to absolutely love that clip.
Yes, love that kid. You guys, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I'll be rooting for the Noles. I'll turn it on right
now. Yeah, go Noles. And with that, we will catch you all later. Make sure to watch the NBA 75 draft. Also, that's a good episode. We will see you guys later. Peace.